PwC released their Executive Directors Practices and Remuneration Trends 2020 report, and this year there's been a keen focus on the effect of the COVID-19 pandemic and how boards need to adapt in this crisis and strategize for beyond this phase. The authors of the report also conclude that the pandemic could serve as an opportunity for boards to refocus on issues that really matter, like sustainable development, the treatment of staff, and the ever-controversial issue of the executive pay and ordinary worker pay gap. Well, to take us through some of the highlights of the report, I'm joined on the line by Andreas Horak. He's a director for People and Organization at PwC. Thank you so much for joining us, Andreas. What were the report's observations around executive pay over 2019 through to 2020?
So good evening, and to all the listeners, and I think it's a very interesting topic. So let me provide you with the three common themes that we picked up. I think the first theme was, will COVID be the catalyst for the reset of executive pay? And I'm just going to be brief when we touch on what does that mean. Mm-hmm. So the question that was posed was, will executive pay first of all be reduced in quantum? And secondly, the way that executives are incentivized, will that change? Mm. I think historically we worked on the shareholder primacy theory, where executives were rewarded on the basis that they provide shareholder value creation in the process. Now the question that pops up is whether stakeholder value creation, which includes more parties than only the shareholder, is actually getting pushed to the forefront, specifically with regards to how we treat gender and race disparity within South Africa,
yes,
within the wider workforce, as well as within the executive sphere, that there must be fairness and equality across the whole entire group. It must be fair horizontally and vertically within the business.
Mm.
That's the first thing. The second thing that we picked up is whether there will be any appetite for turnaround incentives. So this is normally quite a controversial topic, but in this instance, we need to acknowledge that in most businesses that have suffered the consequences of COVID-19 was as a result of a black swan event. It wasn't as a consequence of management underperforming or having a strategy that was failing.
Mm.
Okay, so in that instance, are the turnaround incentives justified and fair? The second question is, should we change incentive constructs to focus on different things? So how does ESG get focused on? Yet again, environmental, social and governance and impact investing is the key word. Should investors be more willing to compensate management for focusing on the more sustainability factors of the business?
Mm.
And those will always be debating points. Obviously, shareholders always have the expectation to only share in any upside and they want the executives to take the downside with them. So that's the pending questions that must be answered.
Mm. Let's pick up on the turnaround incentive idea. How would that work?
So typically what would happen on that basis is executives will have a discussion with shareholders where they explain to shareholders that we need to do a certain element of value restoration to get the business back to where it was. And on that basis, we need to almost effectively reach an agreement that we will get compensated and share in a component of the value realization. The big pending question is always that shareholders will argue that you've only given me back what I've lost. You haven't given me anything in addition to what I've invested. But on the basis that you want your pay to be fair and reasonable and you want executives to stick around, the question might be whether they shouldn't share in some of the value realization components. Maybe at a more suppressed level, but maybe they shouldn't be excluded completely.
I can understand why it's controversial.
I've lost something and now you want me to give you something back to you to just effectively restore me to where I used to be. That's always a big question.
So Andreas, given the pressure that's been placed on the economy and businesses this year, what's the expectation around what executive pay will look like for this year?
So I think there's a realistic expectation that there's always two components of pay. It's the fixed pay component and the variable or incentive pay component. I think there's a realistic expectation that the variable pay will, for the current year, effectively be lost, that there isn't an expectation that variable pay should be paid. On the fixed pay quantum, though, the question does pop up whether executives should be willing to take a permanent pay cut as opposed to a temporary pay cut. I think we're all aware that quite a few corporates in South Africa made the announcement that they were willing to contribute a third of their pay or 20% of their pay for a three-month period.
Yes.
But we're yet to see whether that will be a permanent reduction or whether at some point in time that reduction will be reversed and they will be put back in the position they were on a pre-COVID basis.
Hmm. Women remain underrepresented in the higher echelons of business boards, especially in the listed space. Have we seen any progress in this regard?
So I think there is a light in a bit of a dark tunnel. We've seen 12 new female CEOs appointed on the JSE in the current year or in the current year's analysis, which indicates a step in the right direction. I do think we need to acknowledge that on an overall CEO basis, we only have 6% representation as being female. And then on an overall board basis as executive directors, we only have approximately 14 to 15% representation as female. So that's still a significantly below par, let's say, equality stat that we're looking at. Surely there is a room for improvement going forward.
Yeah, and then in terms of race, in terms of black South Africans represented on boards, what are the percentages there, and are we making strides in that regard?
So I think there's two things we noted. So in the 25 years plus of our democracy, we've now established that about 28% of boards in general in South Africa has got African, coloured, Indian and Asian representation. So there is also a step in the right direction, but it's not nearly where it should be. From a pay gap perspective, now effectively a pay gap is when you go and compare a female's pay relative to a male's pay, or you go and compare an African, coloured, Indian or Asian's representative pay relative to a white representative pay, You will see that the pay gap on a female basis is still quite significant. Depending on the size of the business, it can vary anything between 25 to 40%, which is eye-opening on an overall basis. But the main reason for that is we don't have enough female representation at CEO level because CEOs get paid a premium. If we have a look at a rate basis, it is slightly better. You're looking at probably a 15 to 20% pay gap, but yet again, there is room for improvement, as we mentioned earlier.
Hmm. Look, I think we've discussed quite a bit already in our conversation, but just finally, the COVID crisis has also laid bare inequalities around the world, and this also now comes back to the issue of executive pay as it relates to workers on the shop floor, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Any prospect that some of those stark differences might change going forward?
So I think there's definitely going to be an emphasis and a focus based on the changes in the proposed Companies Act amendment bill that there will be a compulsory disclosure of wage gaps. Obviously, the question always comes about how that will be represented because there's always interpretation differences that take place.
Mm.
So we hope to see a larger awareness and a larger focus on that. I do also think that we need to go and have a look at what we will view as a dignified level of pay for entrance-level employees in South Africa. Even though we acknowledge that the national minimum wage is a step in the right direction, we would desperately want to see an enhancement to that and maybe a form of a living wage that will be more reflective of what we would see as a dignified level of pay.
Yeah, a lot of work to be done. Thank you very much, Andreas, for your time and giving us some insights into that report. That was Andreas Horak. He's a director for People and Organization at PwC.